might also remember those that are getting the speakers, and I have a share of that. Sometimes you ask for people, and you just they don't come through. So that's a need for prayer as well. And then I might say, too, in regards to Spencer, it was sort of an odd case, but the tractor somehow turned over through an accident, and he was he's quite sore, but he's okay. So we might continue to remember them as well. If you will, turn with me into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and beginning at verse 41. I'm going to ask a few questions afterwards, so since it's a little Bible study, we'll try to do that. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 51. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And then chapter 13, beginning with verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed, out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Ethan in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Now, how long altogether were they in Egypt? 430 years. It was predicted that they were going there, and what was Abraham told by God how long they would be there in slavery? 400 years. Now, oftentimes people look at this passage and they think that this is a contradiction. No, they were 430 years in the land, but for 30 years they were not as slaves, as we read of in Genesis chapter 15, when God spoke to Abram. Now, when they came out, they were known as from what we read. Pardon? They were known as host of the Lord. Now, that's very important. They're not just known as the children of Israel, but they're known as the host of the Lord. Why? Why were they the host of the Lord now? Pardon? No. What would make you of the Lord? Why are they referred to now as they're going on this journey as the host of the Lord? Yeah, but why? They are, but they're the host of the Lord. It's the obvious, because they have now been redeemed, right? They're now in the host of the Lord because they've been redeemed by the blood, right? So they are referred to in the portion several times after this as the host of the Lord. So are we. If you know what it is to have your sins forgiven, and you're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you too can say you're of the part of the host of the Lord. Now, we read that they came out as a... We read it. They came out as an army. Now, that's very interesting, too, to notice that when they came out as an army, as we just read that verse, that wouldn't mean that they came out panic-stricken, wouldn't mean that they were running and there was no order. No, there was good order in this whole thing, because God is not the author of confusion. And also, not only did they come out as an army, but they came out harnessed. Some people know what they read. Good. And when they came out harnessed, as one has said, more than likely that meant that they were five in a rank as they came out orderly for this march. Now, I thought about this because of the fact we have several thousand, 600,000 or more men, and then we have the wives and the children, and if you were marching with that many people, how long would it take for you to go just even like a half a mile, Tim? I would think so, too. I thought about that a little bit. If you're marching, that's going to take you a little while to get to the destination as they're coming. Well, we want to bear that in mind. And then also, we notice as they came out that this portion doesn't tell it, but notice a very interesting verse in Psalm 105. And verse 37, this verse tells us that he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, that's a very interesting thing to note, because the fact that I happened to see a snatch or two, what they had of the crossing of the Red Sea and the exodus that they had by the world, and there you have the people lame and hobbling on crutches and so forth. But you'll notice here that when they came out, there was not one feeble person among them as they came. And I think that's an interesting point to observe. And as they came up also, they carried up the bones of Joseph. Now, Joseph had requested for them to do that, and they did. And, of course, somebody might say, why wouldn't they bury that casket and get it over with? But every time they would see that coffin, as they carried him along, what would they be reminded of? They would be reminded of Egypt, but more than that, they would, as they see the bones of Joseph, what would they be reminded of? He was their deliverer. He was their Savior. And so you see, as we are taking our wilderness journey, all that we always might have before us, the fact, yes, that the Lord Jesus is our Savior. I like that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We can just look there for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10, where it says, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So we find that the Lord led them through the way of the land of the Philistines. But through the wilderness is how they came, not through the land of the Philistines. I thought of that verse of the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so today, he uses his word to lead us also, because we have that verse in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Now in verses 20 and 21 that we read of chapter 13, we have that they had the cloud, the pillar of cloud, to lead them, and the pillar of fire. Now, I just want to throw something out, and I don't know what your thinking has been when you think about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I always thought of them as two distinct, definite, different things, okay, until I meditated on this a little bit more. And as I thought about this more, I could be totally wrong here, okay, so, and I'll be corrected too. I see it as perhaps that what it was a cloud that they would always see in the sky, and then perhaps coming up out of the middle of the cloud would be the pillar of fire, so that it was always present. As you read the context here and the chapter, I don't think, for instance, that the one was taken away and then the other one was given. That's just a thought, okay? But I've never thought of it that way before. But nevertheless, there it would be, that pillar, the cloud, to guide them and to direct them. Okay, now the first thing that we want to notice about it is that it reminds us of, what would that cloud remind us of? God's presence, but God as? Thank you, the Holy Spirit. That's why I selected those songs for Larry to sing for us tonight. That cloud very definitely reminds us of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting, too, because the fact it was not given, the Holy Spirit was not given to us until after, that's when it was given, is at Pentecost, until after the 50 days had passed by, but it's after the main event, the resurrection. Thank you. The main event was the resurrection, and then the Spirit of God was given. So it is in type, but we don't have time to do that with the Red Sea. We have them passing through, as it were, the resurrection, and we have that the cloud is given to them, and it is given as a gift. They didn't ask for it. The people, the Lord's host, did not ask for it, but the cloud and that pillar of fire was given as a gift. It was also given as a... several things now. It was also given as a guide. I heard that faintly. Thank you. John 16:13. You want to read that for me, Jorge? Since a little louder, though, when you read. John 16:13. Good, okay. What else was the cloud given for? Pardon? I didn't hear you, Tim. To show them the way. That would be the same as the guide. What did you say, dear? For protection, okay. It was given as a covering. Now, for some of us, we would appreciate that more than others, as you're traveling and marching out in the wilderness, because that sun is very hot, and the cloud being there could give them that protection and that shade. Somebody read for me real quickly Psalms 105 and verse 39. And then somebody also find Ephesians 4:30. Okay, so not only was the cloud for a covering, for protection, so the Spirit of God for us, my friends. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, He's there to protect you. And it's also for what purpose? Jeff? No, Jeff just read it. To give light. Yes, not only was the cloud for protection, but to give light. What a great thing it is for us that Nehemiah 9:12, just before we have Ephesians 4:30, Nehemiah 9:12. Jason, have you got your Bible back there? Nehemiah 9:12. Somebody read to me Ephesians 4:30. You should have that already.
Nehemiah 9:12?
No, Jason's going to find that. You're going to read Ephesians 4:30. Just like we find that they were protected, so we are sealed. And, oh my, it's a great thing to know that we're protected, that we're sealed, we're forever His. Okay, Jason? Okay, while we're moving along, all right? Psalms 99, verse 7, okay? Caleb, you find that for me, okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. Don Palmer, I'll let you have that one. Okay, did you find it there, Jason? Chapter 9, verse 12. So again, that's a reference to the fact of the reason why the cloud was given is for light. And so the Spirit of God wants to enlighten us as well. All right, let somebody read for me, because we talked about the covering, from Psalms 99, verse 7. Whoever is reading that, please read that, and what is it for? Caleb, what verse did you have? Oh, okay. So from the cloud, what happened? He spoke unto them. And it's from the Spirit of God also that teaches us, okay? And it's through the Word of God, as the Spirit of God works in our life, as we read it, that the Spirit of God will speak to us as well. All right, Revelation 2:3, who has that? Don? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3. I got the wrong one then. Okay, I'm wrong. It's not my first time. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, wrong verse is right. Verse 7, Don. I'm sorry about that. Thank you. Thank you. It's he that hath an ear, let him hear. And we read that several times in Revelation in the churches, that he that hath an ear, let him hear. Okay? Now the next thing we find is that the cloud was darkness to the Egyptians.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. It's darkness to them. Light to us. But darkness to those Egyptians, to the ungodly. Now, the cloud, we find later on, I'm just going to move along quickly, rested upon the tabernacle as soon as it was erected. All right, so how does that remind us of the coming of the Holy Spirit? What did he do? What did the Spirit of God do? Let me say that again. The cloud rested upon the tabernacle as soon as it was erected. You'll read about that in Exodus chapter 40 and verses 33 through 35. How does that speak to us? He does, okay, but the very fact that the cloud rested on the tabernacle, how does that speak? But how does it rest on the Lord? What did he do when he came here, Tim? What did the Lord Jesus Christ come to do? John chapter 1. He did come to die, but what did he come? No, in reference to this. He tabernacled. Yes! He tabernacled amongst us. He dwelt amongst us, right? Okay? So what did the Spirit of God do when he tabernacled amongst us? It did. But what did the Spirit of God do? It came like the form of a dove when... And it rested. Thank you, Linda. And it rested on him. Thank you, Linda. And we find just like the cloud rested on the tabernacle back then, so it is true that the cloud or the Spirit of God came upon the Lord Jesus right there, as we find that the Spirit of God was upon him. Okay? All right. Now, all through the wilderness, the cloud was not taken away. And my friends, when you stop to think of that, that's the same as what our experience is going to be as we travel through this wilderness. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, it will never be taken away. John chapter 14, I'll just read a verse there. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Okay, John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Oh, listen, it will never be taken away. And so we find that the Spirit of God will always be with us. Okay. Now, when it was told that the people were gone and they were on the march, that Pharaoh and his servants, you'll remember the story, they went with all of their horsemen and so forth, and they were coming rapidly upon them. And the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and were afraid. Now, I was going to read chapter 14, 1 through 12, but I think you're familiar with that. They lifted up their eyes, and they were afraid, and they cried out unto the Lord and to Moses, why should we die in the wilderness? Now, they lifted up their eyes and were afraid, but the problem is that they failed to trust in the Lord. Oh, it's true that they cried unto the Lord, but they cried in complaint, not in thankfulness. And
You know, when you start to think of all that they had experienced with those 10 plagues and the river and all that they, that they're now coming to the river, did they think that God, not to the river, to the sea rather, that God was going to let them down? You know, it reminds me of ourselves. How quick we are to complain. Even after all God has done for us, and God has done for each and every one of us remarkably, and yet a problem comes up, and we cry out in complaint. Now, they cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord had already promised them that he was going to take them to Mount Horeb, where they would worship the Lord. And we can also say, if God be for us, who can be against us? True, they were coming. Now I have another little thought to throw out. You might think about that cloud one and disagree with that. You might even think worse about this one. But I had this thought, too, because the fact of, I want to read a verse, if I can find it here. Oh, verse 21 of chapter 14. Now, remember that there they are, they're right by the Red Sea, the mountains on the side, the enemy behind them, they're trapped! And we find that they're trapped there, and then it says that they were given instructions to fear not. That was the first instruction. The second one was to stand still. You know, it's good to be still and know that I am God. Stand still and recognize that God is in control of this whole thing. And don't trust in yourself. And what could Israel do? They couldn't do a thing. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't dry up the sea. They couldn't level the mountains. They couldn't get rid of the enemy. They couldn't do anything. But they needed to see that salvation is all of the Lord. And now there's a verse over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29 that says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now when you read that it was by faith, we also recognize that Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, if they crossed by faith, they didn't see everything at once, is my thinking, all right? Now, you may disagree with me, all right? And that's perfectly all right if you do. But what I noticed here in this verse, and Moses, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. All that night, the hand of the Lord was working, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Let me just read a few verses. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and the cloud and the trouble the host of the Egyptians. Now, as I read this, this is my thought. That when they started, yes, Moses stretched out his hand, their feet were in the brink, and it began to divide. And my thinking is, for the first time, that it kept dividing all night. Now, I know it's not the accepted thing that's been given, all right?
But as you read the portion, they went at night. At the morning watch, when the morning was coming, the Egyptians were already in. Remember that the cloud was between them, that was darkness to them, but light to the other. That also gives me the idea that the cloud and the light were, the pillar were attached. I mean, I'm just giving you something to think about. Because the fact the one was light to them, where it was darkness to the other. And so if they're walking by faith, which I read that they did, then I think that it was taking them by faith, step by step, just as it is for us that we walk by faith. Now, then, you remember when they were all on the other side, because like Tim said, it would take at least a couple hours to walk a mile, and I don't even know how far across it is from the Red Sea, what that journey would be, but to get those people all across, that wasn't going to take place in just minutes. But they had faith in the Lord. Anyways, however you grab that, I don't know, but I like that verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not o'erflow thee. And when you passeth through them. And so they were able to quickly go over, and the Lord could have done it in a snap by just saying the water is parted, and he could have had the fact that it could have been dry ground immediately. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He could have done that. But the part that struck me was that it was all night that the east wind came, and it was also in light when the Egyptians came. And it wasn't in light, but the children of Israel passed during the darkness. But it was light to them. Anyways, that's a thought. And I'll leave that with you. But what a great thing it is to know that we have the Spirit of God that will go before us, and he will fight for us, and we should hold our peace.